Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast. Did you miss us?
You heard it right this time.
We had a little bit of fun last time.
We did.
Had a little bit of a April Fool's Day prank on y'all.
Yeah, did we get you?
Probably not. Because we do it every single year.
Yeah.
In the 2 years.
2 years.
That's nuts.
That is crazy. We've done 2 April Fool's episodes.
Ugh, crazy. We also have done an episode similar to this one.
Two of them. Yeah.
Who was the other one?
Data Remember.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Anyway, this episode is Avril Lavigne's Love Sucks. Is it even good, guys? We're going to tell you our opinions. We are not professional reviewers, but we do take it upon ourselves to sit down and listen to a record and decide whether or not it's good.
Yeah.
Because we got nothing better to do.
We got to find out if it's good or not.
Mm-hmm. So we can tell you guys. Okay, now that we're done with the obvious here.
Yeah.
We got quite a bit of songs to play on this episode.
We do.
More than usual. So we figured we're just going to jump into the new releases of the week.
Why not?
Roper.
Yeah.
We got some new releases.
Yeah, we do.
We like sharing some new releases. We actually didn't even do last week's new releases. We could check that. Because we did the country new releases.
We did country releases, so we did new releases.
Just not for the genre.
Not the ones that you guys were looking for.
Well, what did you pick this week?
I picked In Her Own Words' new single. Hopefully it's the final one. They've got 4 out already.
Oh, geez.
But this is In Her Own Words featuring Derek from State Champs and the song Circles. But now we run around in circles and we can't stop. Dude, I love this song.
I feel like Derek is like either incredibly hit or miss though.
On this one, he is very mediocre.
Ah.
But Joey Fleming's voice is so good, and like the song is just really well written and catchy. So it kind of makes up for Derek. I think Derek's voice is just like he's not heading towards those little like raspy notes that he was hitting in the first couple State Champs albums. He's really letting his voice mellow out, which same thing as like Joe Taylor from Knuckle Puck.
I feel like they do this because like they realize that if they continue, they're going to destroy their vocal cords.
Like that, or they've already hurt themselves. It sounds fucking phenomenal live and on the record, but after a while, like if you hit those really raspy or raw notes, you're going to really mess up your voice or develop polyps.
Dude, it takes some fucking training. Like I was doing some research, as I do. This is my one Wonder Years reference. Campbell, like, after every show, he has,
he's got an oxygen mask.
Yeah. I don't think it's an I think it's, like...
It's like a backpack with oxygen.
It's not oxygen, though, I don't
what
think.
What is it, then?
It's, like, it's something to, like, help clear his vocal cords.
I had heard that he had done the oxygen thing, but...
Maybe, I don't know. Fuck. But anyway, he takes incredibly well care of his voice, and I think it's definitely paid off in the long run. Because I feel like he still hits the same notes that he was long ago.
I'm sure these guys have their own vocal.
They probably have like training and stuff, but are they like, I don't know. I could be wrong. They seem a little more reckless in
this
my mind.
This is all speculation.
All speculation. All our opinions.
Yep.
They don't matter.
Nope.
But yeah, I forgot to listen to this one. We were like last minute preparing for this episode.
Yeah.
So definitely made it fun for you guys.
I will say that I don't think you'll like this one.
Ah, oh well.
That means
In Her Own Words.
That means he will like it, guys.
Is that the secret?
Yeah.
You said, I feel like if you challenge me to like, if you're like, oh, you wouldn't like it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I will.
I think you'll fucking hate this song.
Like, I remember Beartooth record came out, their first record, and then one of my friends was like, you won't like this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I will. And I listened to it all summer.
And you're like, yeah, I love it now.
Yeah, I do love it now. I think if I just force myself to listen to something enough, I'll like it.
Yeah.
I think that is with a lot of music.
I think you'll find this song very catchy.
Ooh, well, maybe I'll check it out.
Well, you have to. If you can put it on the podcast.
Oh yeah. I chose Beach Bunny's new song. Have you listened to Beach Bunny before?
Today was the first day, I think. I might have heard him before in passing.
They have some jams. I liked Beach Bunny a lot. And I chose their new song, Fire Escape. Did a lot. There was some guitar riffs I was really into. You like listen to that song compared to the rest of songs from Avril's record, like you can just tell like there's like this bit of rawness that like is just missing from the new record from Avril that Beach Bunny like clearly just fucking killed. It's just something special. I've always liked Beach Bunny's stuff. I don't actively go out of my way to listen to them, but every time I see something new by them, I make sure to check it out.
Yeah,
because I think they're gonna do really cool things in the future, and I've been trying to expand my reach to more female pop punk vocalists. I don't feel like I listen to enough of them.
There's more and more every day,
every single
which
day,
which is good.
I like good. Beach Bunny. I like Hot Milk. I like Jetty Bones.
Yeah.
I love Jetty Bones, actually.
Jetty Bones is great.
So good. But yeah, so many good choices out there. If you guys know any, female vocals out there, let me know. I'll listen to them. Maybe. Probably not.
Stick to the end of this review, and I've got a couple recommends for you.
Ooh, boy-o. Okay.
I didn't mean to make that rhyme.
Some other notable releases. Alex Melton released Buy You a Drink, which is a T-Pain cover.
It's a country... like pop punk T-Pain cover, dude.
Did you listen to it?
I did.
Oh, is it good?
It's actually really good.
Oh boy, I love Alex Melton. Anything he like touches is like gold.
Oh yeah.
I do feel like he needs to spice up a little bit. Like I feel like some songs sound very similar with this like country thing.
Yeah.
But I still love Alex Melton.
Oh yeah.
Pop released The Unraveling of Pop the Band, which is an album.
The album.
You like Pop more than I do.
There's only like a few songs that I actually like know from them, but I've liked everything that I've heard from them, so I'm sure this new album is going to sound great.
Great. Mayday Parade released their song No Heroes Allowed, which is now an acoustic.
Acoustic.
Which everyone likes a little bit of acoustic. I feel like Mayday Parade does really good with acoustic stuff like that.
Well, if it's slow, then you fucking knock it out of the park. If it's slow and sad,
there it is,
every
baby.
Time. They're bread and butter, dude.
Devin K and The Solutions with Grieving Expectations.
Yeah, new album from them. I had sent Hunter these guys like months ago, and I was so like, man, he will fucking love this band, and he never even listened to them.
I may have.
They're so good. They've got horns in them.
They got horns?
Yeah, that's how I know exactly that you will like them.
Hot Milk with their song Bad Influence.
Yes.
Hot Milk is one of those bands that I think is really gonna blow up one day. And I think they're gonna do it the right way. I don't think they're gonna be
when we went through like that whole like list of the new wave of pop punk, they were one of the bands that were like mentioned to be in the forefront of it. Minus the Travis Barker Factory.
Ugh. Here we go, baby.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you wanna get into it?
I gotta say some things here.
Oh, okay.
We find all of our information on the Pop Punkers on Reddit page. You guys should check that out. We did not say every single one of them on there, so
no,
there could be something that we missed that you would like. Then also, Roper curates a Spotify playlist.
I do.
You hear some songs on this? It may possibly end up on the Spotify playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some songs that we don't even talk about.
Exactly.
Roper has a mind of his own.
I do.
And we cannot control him.
I don't know which way's up.
You don't have to.
No.
You're Roper. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
But anyway, guys, we are going to now review Avril Lavigne's new record, Love Sucks.
Is it even good?
Is it even good? Avril Lavigne is back with an all-new album on a brand-new label titled Love Sucks. The 12-track album is produced by Travis Barker's DTA Records. The record features appearances from Machine Gun Kelly and Black Bear and writing from Lavigne's boyfriend, Modson. That made me mad.
The bane of your existence.
I hate it.
Hey, does DTA Records stand for Don't Tell Anyone?
I hope not. No, it's that sounds suspicious.
It's don't trust anyone.
Interesting. Rants. Interesting. Yeah. It's this is another Travis Barker produced record. Roper and I have made our opinions very clear.
Yeah.
On his produced records, and I'm not gonna like get into it too much because I want to go through each track before we give our final opinions. But you know, it is what you expect, I think, a lot of it. But we're going to give each song a fair shake.
At least we'll try to.
We'll do our best.
Do our best.
First song off the record is Cannonball. What are your thoughts on it?
Dude, at the beginning of the song, it sounds like it could be like a baby metal song.
Yeah.
Like, you know those girls in Japan that... Like,
oh, I know baby metal.
Okay. I forget who I'm talking to right now.
An expert.
Or it sounds like a new song for the newest edition of Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, I mean... it's but got only like weird, in the verses.
Yeah, though. In the verses. It's very like... I don't know, weird to me. I don't know. It just seemed really off-putting for it being like pop punk or supposed to be pop punk.
Yeah, it's especially for like the opening track, right?
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that there would be a little bit more, I don't know. Like I just expected something different. I feel like this is a weird song to start the record off
with.
Yeah,
there's a lot of songs on here that are just like, I don't know if they're placed weirdly or they just, not a lot of substance for me.
Yeah.
Where I don't, like... I know for a fact that this is going to be somebody's first Avril Lavigne album.
Oh, that hurts
And
my
someone's
heart,
first like pop punk album.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, this is terrible. But like, there's definitely a lot left to be desired with this track, especially.
I'm just going to say this. I should have said this earlier, but like, I'm a giant Avril Lavigne fan.
Yeah.
I love her older stuff. Like, her older, like, pop punk, like, her first three records.
Her first couple records, yeah.
Like, they're pretty dope. And then she kind of went into this pop thing, and I was like, this isn't horrible, but it's not me. So, yeah. I want to let her do her own thing and just, you know, I love her for her first three records.
I'm just going to say it here that I'm not a fan at all.
At like, all? You don't like her older stuff?
I mean, I know of her older stuff, but
you don't like it.
I just, it's there for me. If I'm going to listen to like pop punk, it's not going
to
be.
You're not going to listen to Skater Boy.
No.
You're not going to listen to It's Complicated.
I maybe that one over Skater Boy, to be honest.
What? You have to go make things so complicated.
There's, when we had the Sucker Punch guys on, their drummer, yeah. Tyler, he plays for a band called Midfield, as he said, and they have an amazing cover of Complicated.
Is that why you like the original now?
Yeah.
See, I feel like you would like the original. I grew up with them. Like, I loved Avril Lavigne. Like, probably the first song I knew how to sing all the lyrics to was Skater Boy.
Yeah.
It was just that good. And now...
Was it good for you now? Or
yeah,
like,
I love... I think I would still like the song if I heard it today.
All right.
I think I would. I don't know. Nostalgia's blinding.
I don't think you would.
I think I would.
I'm not
like that guitar. That guitar, fucking oh my
Beanie.
God! Like literally, like Derek Wembley from Sum 41, like wrote that album essentially.
Okay.
So I mean, I feel pretty safe in saying that I would like that record today. But who knows?
Yeah.
What else do you have to say about Cannonball?
There isn't a lot there for me. I give it a solid 5.
A solid 5.
Yeah.
A nice crisp 5.
Yeah.
So I said, man, I don't know. The beginning sounds like too much of a bad anime intro or something. And Roper and I like basically typed out the same, like we were typing at the same time. The chorus is a little bit better, but honestly the record has way better to offer. I think that this is a very like mediocre song on the record.
Yeah.
The bridge is extra lazy with just some like woes just to fill out space and stuff. Like I hate when songs do that.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. What? I don't know. I'm actually gonna agree with Roper on this and also give it a solid crisp, dusty 5 out of 10.
Yeah. There's just not a lot there for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would have liked the song more if, like, the verses weren't fucking weird.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it is a style. I feel like there are people out there that would probably really like the song just for that alone.
Oh, but yeah.
Like, nah, not for me. Not for me.
This is perfect for the target audience.
What do you think? Who do you think, like, target audience
Junior high.
Is? Junior
high. Anybody who's just getting into top 40 radio.
Ah, that hurts.
It's honestly how I feel about this whole record, though.
Stop giving your full opinion.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? Okay, I guess we'll jump into the next one here.
All right.
This one is Boys Live featuring Boys. The King, the Prince of Pop Punk, Machine Gun Kelly.
Why does one of the best songs on this album have to feature Machine Gun Kelly?
Ugh.
Like, this is the song that I've been singing all day because mm-hmm. it's like...
It's catchy.
It's catchy and it's got like really memorable parts, whether that being MGK being tone deaf or like I've been making fun of him all day.
I do think like this is Machine Gun Kelly's best song.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe like he had, I think there was a long time ago before his record came out, he was on something else I actually kind of dug.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Youngblood on it. Yeah, that mm-hmm. one's really good.
That was pretty solid.
Because it was a novelty then. Like, yeah. It was like, oh, man, look at this rapper doing, like, rock music. And then now it's like, man.
It's like, go away.
Get the fuck out of here.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Keep going if you're...
I think Avril is phenomenal in this song. I will say that it's nice to have that feature on there because it actually adds a little something in my mind to the song, whether it being good or bad.
I just wish Black Bear would have done it.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have been better at this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't... Yeah, I think so, too. I honestly thought... I almost wrote down on here that I would almost rather have Mod Sun on either this track. I feel like this track would have been perfect to have Mod Sun on it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mod Sun easily could have been on the Black Bear song, too. So...
Here's my thing. I don't think...
A lot of the features, like, they feel, like, interchangeable.
Exactly. Like, I think Black Bear song is Black Bear song because it, like, definitely has that fucking thing I hate with, like... Like, yeah, it's the fucking lazy ass drums.
Yeah.
I really just wish, like, from the bottom of my heart that she would have, like, chosen somebody that was rising in the actual pop punk scene.
Yeah.
To, like, Derek Wembley would have been great on this.
But he's already established. He's not rising.
I think he's still rising, like, if you think about it. If you go on their TikTok, like, they only get, like, I don't know, 600 likes on something.
But they're also like as old as our parents.
They are not.
They're younger than our parents, but older than us.
Your parents are older than mine.
How old are your parents?
50s now, I think.
Yeah, mine are too.
No, they're not.
Swear to God.
Really?
Like young 50s.
Young 50? Like how old? Like my dad's like 51 and my mom's 49 right now.
My dad is 53 and my mom is 53.
No shit, really? I wonder if our parents would be friends.
They're 25 years older than me.
Hmm.
So they're probably 54 now.
Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like MGK needs like a T-Pain level of like auto-tune to make it sound a little more presentable.
Yeah, I think you underestimate how much auto-tune or like vocal editing that they had to do for him.
Oh man, I think I am underestimating, or maybe I don't know, but
like, even, I've heard him play live. Like, yeah. I've watched a video, I should say.
Yeah, we all saw that cover of Aerials.
Like, that's the new big one, but honestly, yeah. He did, like, a Blink-182 cover.
Yeah, and his Paramore cover was just...
The Paramore cover was edited.
Yeah.
And it was still bad.
Still terrible.
Yeah, still not great. And, like, they didn't even do anything, like, fun with it. They just made it exactly this. Ugh.
That's... I mean, I feel like every cover that he puts out, he's not going to add anything special to it.
Yeah, I know.
We need to stop talking about him, though.
He's part of the song. This one's fine.
I give this song a solid 7.
Solid 7?
Yep.
So I said, I hate to say this, but this is my favorite song off the record. Just hate it. I hate that. I think this is a good sing-along. It's catchy and fun. A little jam, if you will.
Yeah.
Plus, the intro guitar riff sounds a lot like her previous work, which, like, kind of gave me, like, Skater Boy vibes.
Yeah.
I don't think MGK really adds anything special here. Then, like, when he sings with Avril, I think he brings down the song.
Yeah.
I think his own parts he did he did fine.
They were
like,
okay.
I think, like, yeah, I don't think they were, like, actively bad or anything
they're,
like that.
They're honestly exactly what you would expect from them.
Exactly. So. Like, but, like, when he sings with Avril, like, it's bringing it down, dude. Like, yeah. Avril has, like, an actual really good fucking voice.
Well, she has a high register, too, and his voice is so low. Yeah. So it's, like, some... Most times that works really well in harmonies, but not with him. Like,
dude, I think every time, like... Every time MGK, like, comes in, like, he starts... Before he starts his verse, he goes, yeah. Like, I think I die a little inside.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like... I just can't help but, like, watch a little piece of me float away every time I hear it.
I honestly feel like he wrote his, like, feature part in this, too. Because a lot of the stuff that he... I mean, you'll notice this with both of his pop punk records that he put out, and then anything that he features on, he uses a lot of the same, like, words and phrases and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Or Travis Barker wrote it.
That's just part of the factory.
And then, like, and then Machine Gun Kelly's like, yeah, I think this is good, but, like, I feel like I should add a yeah here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should. Do you think he, I don't know. I think he knows how to write. I was going to say.
I think, like, he's a decent writer sometimes.
No, I was going to say, do you think, like, he tells somebody exactly what he wants to sing on it, but he can't, like, actually write it down because he's not smart enough to write it down?
I think he gets a lot of help.
I think he does.
I think, like, I don't think Machine Gun Kelly is, like, this fucking absolute horrible musician. I don't think he's a good musician. I don't like that he's such a staple in the pop punk scene now. I don't like that fucking the billboards is saying that he's the prince of pop punk. Like, yeah. I think that's absolutely fucking ridiculous. It's horseshit.
And I don't like what he had said about, like, I mean, like, he was saying how all the, like, actual pop punk bands should give him credit because he earned his success. And it's,
no,
like,
he didn't, dude.
It's like, no, you knew all the right people. Like,
yeah, it's like, it's, I mean, I feel like there'd be a ton of pop punk bands that would absolutely kill to work with Travis Barker.
Oh, yeah. And actually benefit from it.
Yeah. And, but no, like, you know, I don't know. I want to like try not to be so negative about him anymore because I don't think it's really adding anything.
No. And it's, if anything, it's like, us saying the same thing that everybody else is.
Exactly.
And that's not why you guys tune in.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I give this one an 8, though.
Yeah. This
solid
is,
8 on this one.
This is a solid track off of this album.
Mm-hmm. Next track, Roper. You got Bite Me.
No.
What do you think?
This is what I expected when I originally heard that Avril was going to put out a new album.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, she's going to put out something catchy, like you said, Skater Boy. But
like, you think this is like in the same realm as Skater Boy?
No, okay. It's not as good.
No, I was going to say, like,
is like something that I would expect. Like, it's got a very, like, repetitive, like, easy to remember chorus to it.
Yeah.
Just a lot like that girlfriend song that she has.
Hey, hey, you. I don't like your girlfriend.
She knows how to pick, like, all the catchy songs, which is good.
Well, I think that's, like, part of being a, like, I don't want to say you're a good writer just because you can write catchy songs.
No.
But I think there is a talent to it.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, most of her album has a lot of more upbeat, like, catchy things than...
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, like, that's a big part of what differentiates, like, the new realm of, like, what pop punk is becoming compared to, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, serious, like, just, like... I'm doing it again. The Wonder Years... like, the Wonder Years don't necessarily have, like, catchy lyrics, but they have, like, really heartfelt and, like, well-written lyrics. While, like, Avril Lavigne doesn't necessarily have well-written lyrics, but they're really catchy.
Really catchy, yeah. And she's got some hooks in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely don't hate on songs that have catchy choruses. I think that they did exactly what they intended to do.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily go out of my way to listen to them.
Yeah.
Like, I would, maybe sometimes, I don't know. Definitely not near as much as I would, like, well-written lyrics to where, like, I'm hearing, like, a beautiful story or something.
Yeah, there's definitely not a beautiful story in Bite Me. But this is, like, a good, like, return to her pop-punk roots. Like, if I were to be like, hey, check out Avril Lavigne, this is how she used to sound, this is how she sounds now, I would pick Skater Boy or Complicated, and then this song.
Really? So you actually kind of like this one?
I mean, it stands out a lot more than some of the other songs on this album.
That is fair.
So it's easy to like it more when I can actually remember it.
Well, what's your final score on it?
I give it a 7.
A nice 7.
This is nice and catchy, yeah. But I don't think I would ever like come back to it.
Yeah,
because I'm not gonna review this album again.
All right. Well, so this was the first release off the record, and I'll admit that it has grown on me, and I do like the song.
Yeah.
However, I think it does show off, like, oh, wait, this is, never mind. Take out that however. I think it does show off how badass Avril can be. But some later songs on the record takes some of that away from me, which we will get to. I was hoping that this would be, like, the average, like, vibe of, like, yeah. You know, like, this was, like, oh, this was just another song on the record. This but, is, like... You know, I honestly, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, I listen to this song and I think, how much better would this song be if Travis Barker didn't produce it?
Very true.
I think that this would have been, like, I wish she'd go back to her older producers, or better yet, like, someone in the pop punk scene that, like, actually produces, like, real fucking pop punk music.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of sounds like gatekeeping, and it is.
Yeah.
I don't mean it to be. Like, if you enjoy this music, that's great. Like, I'm not here to like shit on your taste or anything, but I am here to say, like, I do feel like the song would have benefited way better. Who is the guy from Man Overboard?
Nick Bruzzese.
Like, if she would have gone through Nick Bruzzese, or
I think you would have got a completely different album if she would have went through Nick Bruzzese.
But I think it would have been completely better.
It would have been way better, but
yeah,
like it would have been completely different.
Like, when I listen to these songs, like the songs would ironically almost sound quiet to me, because like everything's so impact and everything has to sound exactly the same as the last song. Like, I feel like when an average producer goes at it, and not average, but like the normal producer goes at it, like they try to make their own, like each song their own thing. And I think when Travis goes at it, it's like, we need to make every song sound very similar.
It needs to be this idea of pop punk that I have in my head. And
but like Blink-182 like didn't sound like that in a production way. Like it had the ability for like instruments to shine over other instruments.
Absolutely.
And there are some cases in this record where that happens, but I think the only difference is because like they just layer more on top.
That's what
of
I'm
it.
Thinking too.
So I don't know. But you know, I give it a 7 out of 10. I wish it was a little bit better. I think it would have definitely benefited from a different producer, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
Well, thank you, Roper.
You're welcome.
Well, next we got it. We got another really popular song off the record. Love It When You Hate Me. What are your thoughts?
It's a Black Bear song.
There it is.
Honestly, like, is like, if Black Bear wasn't on this song, I don't have much to say about it, because it's like, it's a Black Bear song, but it doesn't
do anything different.
There's nothing that stands out when you hear like a Black Bear, I mean, any feature throughout a roster of fucking musicians, like, you hear the same feature on every new album, then you're just kind of like, all right.
I feel like an album should have, like, one feature tops.
Yeah, if that. Or
just don't have a feature. Just write your own shit. Or I don't think it's that they don't write it, but, like, just, like, perform your own stuff.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you're going to do that live.
Yeah. I feel like features work really well in covers.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and I think that sometimes that features can be really cool in songs, but like when like half your record depends on it, it's like then, you're only doing this to like, oh, you're a Machine Gun Kelly fan, we gotta listen to this new Avril Lavigne song.
Yeah.
Or you're a Black Bear fan. And like Black Bear is like, I'm just sick of them, because it's the same fucking shit.
Same feature on every fucking song. Like, we'll get into it in a future episode, but like... One of his most recent features is like, I feel like I heard this 5 years ago. I wouldn't say 5 years ago, but you know, time has passed where I'm like, oh, I already heard this, but it's new. So,
like, why doesn't he just make his own pop punk record at this point?
I mean, he used to play in pop punk bands, so you know, like,
Like, I'm happy. Like, I like that he has that background.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that he doesn't belong in this scene.
No.
I just think that it's like, when he does come into the scene, from my perspective,
it is him adding
like more of a hip hop vibe, which is like, again, not bad, but it's the same fucking shit every time. You know, I don't know. I feel bad because I don't want to shit on musicians in this. This isn't my goal, but like, I'm just like giving out my honest opinion right now.
No. And I mean, everybody's going to get tired of it eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder how much longer this like Travis Barker production thing has. Like, I feel like MGK is going to release one more record released by Travis Barker or produced by Travis Barker.
Yeah.
And then like, I think people are like, yeah, we're fucking done with this.
I think this most recent album that he put out, it's like supposed to be like at the top of the Billboard.
It is. It's number one right now. Yeah. Which is like, fuck me. But, like, they're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. So I feel like we've got like a 5-year cycle of this.
But that's okay.
We don't have to listen to it. We can listen to like that our favorite pop punk bands.
Nah,
because they're on a 2-year cycle.
Okay, keep going.
I think I would have liked the song a lot better or a lot more if there had been a different feature on it, or maybe not a feature at all. Mm-hmm. But even if it didn't have a feature, I think I would just forget about it.
Who was that guy that was at emo night? Green hair, everyone hates him.
Lil Aaron.
We should have had Lil Aaron on this.
We should have.
I would have liked Lil Aaron more in Black Bear. I'm just saying.
I feel like this song would have worked better too with like Mod Sun in it.
Yeah, Mod Sun again.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of interesting that he isn't on this. Really,
he. Like they said in, or like we said in our intro, like he helped write some of the songs, but he might not have featured, might have chose not to feature on any of them.
It's just interesting because it was like, well, Avril doesn't really have to pay you because like,
yeah, but
I don't know, it just seems like it would make sense.
He's like, but like he, it's probably not a big deal to any musician, but like I feel like he'd be like, yeah, I'll feature on one song on here, and then he's tied to her the rest of his life.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of like Chad and Haley Williams when they put out that Vicious Love song.
Who's Chad?
Chad Gilbert from Newfound Glory.
Oh, are they no longer together?
No.
Disappointing.
It's my time.
It's like when I was recording in New Jersey, I had group vocals planned out, and then Tyler was like, why don't you bring your girlfriend in there? And I'm like, no, just in case, you know, something happens. And I'm here. I am happy to say that, like, I'm glad I had that precaution in my head because now I don't have to hear her on my record.
Exactly.
So that's nice.
There you go.
Another win for the Huntmeister.
There you go.
Another win. So I said this. I started this like paragraph with like this, the two words. Yeah, I don't know. Well, actually, that's four. But I said IDK.
It's typed out in two words.
I think the chorus is catchy. I really dig it. But the rest of the song is so mad to me. It seems like a copy and paste of every Black Bear features and song, as Roper has previously said. When they sing together, I think it just takes away from Avril. Like,
it does.
I feel like every time Avril like sings with another guy on this record, like, I just like, no, take it away.
I think it doesn't work for you just because each guy who sings with her is like, they have such low registers that it just doesn't sound right.
Like, I understand that it's in the same key. Like, they made sure of that.
Yeah.
Like, I get that, but like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's because of this. Like, Avril like has this beautiful singing voice. Like, no one can take that away from her. And every other guy on this record, to me, just kind of has an average one.
Yeah.
And
hands down.
So I think that's what it is. I think it's like Avril is like a 10 while all these guys are like at a fucking 6 at best. You know, it's like, you know, why do you even sing? Like, if you have your own feature, cool, sing your parts. But I don't know. Yeah. I give it a 6. 6 out of 10 for me. But Roper.
Yeah.
We have another solid one here. We got the title track, Love Sucks.
And This is a fun song.
It is fun.
It is.
I like that.
I feel like it'd be perfect for a Lindsay Lohan movie in the mid 2000s. Like, you know, Mean Girls.
Yeah, I would have like been. The intro I would have been Girls. Happy with that.
Oh yeah,
if they ever make a new Mean Girls, like an actual good one, I think they made Mean Girls 2 and wasn't good.
Yeah.
Sorry, very big fanatic of Mean Girls.
Oh, I love Mean Girls.
But have you seen Mean Girls 2?
No, I haven't.
See?
Not that big of a fan.
No, I haven't reached my level.
Because the first one was so fucking good. Like, why would you need a sequel to it?
Well, they did it.
Any meaner girls. But what were you going to say?
I don't remember. I was too into Mean Girls.
I cut you out. Well, I was going to have you expand upon your Mean Girls love, I guess.
Oh, well, I cut you off. I just really like it.
It's a great fucking movie, dude.
But yeah, I was saying this. If they were to make like a true sequel to Mean Girls, like they bring back Lindsay Lohan, it's like, I don't know, some her in college maybe. Who fucking knows?
Or her as a teacher.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she'll be like plays the role as like Tina Fey did.
Yeah, but she'll be like, I used to be a mean girl.
Oh, yeah. So, like she's like the educational like oh my god, why are we fucking doing this right now?
Because we're reviewing this great album.
We should be directors, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd be so perfect in something like that.
Oh, yeah. This, I mean, like, I feel like this was straight out of Mean Girls or, like, Freaky Friday.
Oh, it's just Lindsay Lohan movies.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday is so good.
Oh, it is. The outro to the song fucking rules, too. I love it.
You like the outro?
Yeah. I gave it a solid 7.
Solid 7. Ooh, yeah. Good score from Rope Dog.
Oh, yeah.
I dig this one. I like the instruments a lot. The piano gives me some like Andrew W.K. vibes, if you know who he is.
I read that as you were typing it, and I kind of had like a weird, I was like, what the fuck? And then I heard it, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like the Party Hard song.
Yeah, Party Hard song. Like his whole like, I think it's just called Get Wet album's fucking dope.
Yeah.
But this may be one of the only songs that I like the verses and pre-choruses more than the actual chorus.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the pre-chorus is dope, and I wish they would have built more on that. To make for, like, a better chorus. Because it just seems like the chorus is, like... It's not that it doesn't feel like it belongs, but it feels like it was just, like,
kinda,
shoehorned in there.
Kind of falls flat.
Yeah, like, compared to, like, the pre-chorus, is like, oh, shit, something cool's about to happen. The chorus that you're like... Meh. It's like the pre-chorus is, like a solid, like, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And then, like, the chorus comes in, it's like a 7.
Yeah.
It's like, meh. So, I don't know. The bridge is super cheesy and not my vibe. But maybe good for the kiddies, you know? Gonna give this one a solid also 7 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah, I just feel like this one's like perfect for top 40 radio.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like if I was gonna listen to top 40 radio and I heard this, I'd be like, okay, I'm fine with this. You know, like, it's not something that, like, I know that I'm never gonna hear my favorite bands on top 40 radio.
Oh, exactly.
So, I mean, like, if I'm gonna take something, I guess this will work.
Yeah.
But Roper. We have a very romantic song.
Oh.
Kiss Me, Like the World Is Ending.
Damn. How do you know, like, if you're doing it right? Because you don't know when the world's going to end.
Oh. Like I said, like the world. Oh, but it's like the world is ending.
What if you're doing it wrong? Because you don't know how the world's ending.
You thought too far into this.
I did. I need these answers, dude.
Let me tell you this. If I was going to kiss someone like the world is ending... Definitely throw some tongue in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I feel like that would be appropriate for that.
All right. Well, always ask for consent first.
Absolutely. While my tongue is in there. I'm sorry. I would never do that. I can't help it. I can't help myself.
But this song, I don't know why.
Is it cool with you?
Is it okay that I'm kissing you at all? This is like honestly where the album starts to blend together for me. There's like nothing really special about this song to me, except for making me think like existential thoughts of like, how would I kiss someone if the world is ending? I don't think I would do it right, but another upbeat Avril song, solid 5.
Solid 5.
Yeah.
Feeling that. This one doesn't really leave much of an effect on me. God damn it. I don't dislike it, but I don't actively love it either. I feel like this song is more for the kids experience than their first love or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I feel like maybe if I heard this in junior high, I'd be like, oh my God, totally.
Avril just gets me.
How do you fucking know, Avril?
She knows.
How do you know, man? I would love to like have those feelings again. I was thinking about that. I was like, love for like my first like girlfriend was like, so intense. Unmatched. And now like when I like really like someone, I'm like, oh yeah, she's really cool. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even back then, I mean, like, feelings were so awkward back then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would want to experience that again.
Well, I feel like you didn't have the experience behind it.
Yeah, that's
true. To like make it like, I don't know. That's kind of like why we, but like, I really true, like, it's like so many people get married to their high school sweetheart and then they get divorced like, I don't know, 5-10 years later, and then they're like, oh, this is all I've ever known.
Exactly.
And then as like, because I've seen it happen a few times, and like, here I am, I'm, you know, like, I've dated plenty of women, and yeah, like, I've learned a lot from every single one of them, and I think, yeah, to myself, if I didn't have that experience,
what kind of, like, person do you think you would be if you were like,
oh my God,
you'd probably be
like the worst.
I feel like I would be like the biggest, like, fucking, I mean, like, most annoying person ever.
I feel like, yeah, I'd definitely be annoying and, like, even more needy than I already am. I probably am annoying,
yeah.
Well, you're so annoying. Right there. But, like, I just think about that. Like, I've had intense thoughts about, like, what would I be like if I had dated the same girl until, like, right now in my life? And, like, how much would I have learned?
You know, I think your life, I think, like, if that were to happen to, like, anybody who's dated their high school sweetheart and then, like, broke up with them, like, years and years later, like, think about the jarring effect that they would have. Like, they wouldn't know, like, how to be single. They wouldn't know how to, like, talk to other people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, people that they're interested in, like, they would know how to talk to their friends just fine. But, like, trying to date after that would be so miserable.
It's already miserable.
Yeah.
It's already horrible.
It already sucks enough, and I'm like used to it, but like, I cannot imagine like dating one person and then it turning into like, oh nope, I'm out. Like, but we were together for like 10 years.
Yeah. So anyway, just to kind of wrap me up here, not big on the bridge. Didn't really care for the bridge on this one at all. I feel like the bridge is a big make it or break it for a lot of songs. So I like the beat, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10, too.
All right.
Roper.
Yeah?
We have our favorite song on the whole record.
Boy, do we.
Oh, oh boy, howdy.
Oh boy.
This one's called Avalanche. It's like I'm running from it.
There's like really nothing about this song that I like enjoy. I think it just starts at the fact that she can't say avalanche.
Yeah.
She says avalanche or like avalanche.
Yeah. It's really funky. Like, I don't know, like, why you would sing it that way. You think the guy in the booth would be like, hey, I think you're mispronouncing that.
No.
I think it might be to like help rhyme the word. Maybe. I don't know.
And I'm not going to bring up her being Canadian being a factor, because I'm sure there's people in Canada that can say avalanche correctly.
I mean, we haven't tested it yet.
We haven't. Yeah, dude, the dubstep bridge in this song is really fucking weird, and I wasn't expecting it. But, like, I think that, like, kind of phase in music is kind of has passed us already. Like,
yeah.
You remember that year where, like, Marshmello featured on, like, five or six different like pop punk bands and then did the same thing?
Yeah, like I specifically remember the A Day to Remember one.
Yeah.
And I was like, not about it.
I'm like, I think it works perfect on that song. But like,
I think it works better on that song than whatever this dubstep part was.
Yeah,
for this song, it just came out of nowhere. I was like, whoa, okay, that's like, I feel like maybe that's what it was. Like, they kind of knew this song was boring. They're like, let's just throw something weird in the bridge so it keeps their attention.
Well, I got Marshmello on my phone, so
well, I don't.
let's call Mr. Mello and put some fucking dubstep on there.
No,
okay.
I don't like that idea.
I don't really either, but like, it just like feels off. Wait, no, I'm reading yours now. I don't know why it scrolled down, but I'm like, I feel like if it's done correctly and it fits the vibe of the song, it works. But yeah. This, nothing about the song is like, oh yeah, let's throw a dubstep bridge in there.
Yeah, no.
Like, I don't know, dude. I'm not a big dubstep fan, so, or like EDM fan, so my opinion is probably invalid when it comes to it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Get your opinion out of here.
Excuse me.
What's your score?
4.
Okay. Honestly, I actively am not a fan of this one.
All right.
Seems extra cheesy, and it feels like a grown adult wouldn't write this song.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
It's, yeah, just, ugh, I don't know. Just feels off to me. The dubstep bridge is really not my style, and you've already touched on that quite a bit. I can see some liking it, however.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some people that just really kind of enjoy that kind of music, and they're like, maybe they also like this, and they're like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like listening to a pop song, and all of a sudden they have like a pop punk bridge, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, that fucking rules.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I just don't like it. 3 out of 10. Like, it's definitely my lowest score on the whole record. Next up, Roper, we got a Deja Vu.
Deja Vu?
Deja Vu.
Dude, I feel like this song is like, could be off of Katy Perry's Teenage Dream album with the intro.
Really?
It sounds like exactly like Teenage Dream in my mind.
I haven't listened much to that record at all.
Dude, that record fucking slaps.
Is it good?
It's a guilty pleasure. That's like her second album though.
I stopped after I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Oh man,
I would hear stuff here and there.
I think Teenage Dream is like a solid pop record.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just like, for me to like really like a pop record, like I really dig some like older T-Swift stuff.
Oh yeah.
But like, I don't know. I've never been a huge Katy Perry fan.
Like back when I was in like 2010, 2011, around when I was a senior in high school, like I got really into pop music for some reason, like really into like Katy Perry and like Kesha.
Ooh, I love Kesha.
Like all my friends and TikTok? I would just fucking jam to TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok's a good song.
It's a fucking banger. And this song also, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these Travis Barker Factory songs, mm-hmm. they like take. Well, we've already said this multiple times on the podcast, but they just take like all these different parts from like Blink songs or like even other influences and just like try to fit them all into one song.
Yeah.
So like this bridge, or like it might even be during the chorus. No, I think it's the bridge, but like it's the same exact guitar riff from What's My Age Again. Just slowed down.
You said that, but I was like, man, I was trying to remember what it was. Like, do-do-do. I don't know. Like,
dude, it's like a slowed down version of it.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I just feel like there's so many different influences in this song that, like, I don't know if they work or not, but it just feels like it's all mashed together, and they're like, hey, you remember that one song that I made in 1998? Well, here it is again.
But slower.
Yeah, this is a 5 for me.
Solid 5.
Mm. Yeah.
I was digging the more powerful guitars on this one. I like that a lot. Some of the lyrics, I think, are just used for like rhymes and not actually well written at all. I like how the verses build subtly and jump to that powerful chorus. The bridge I think was a bit boring at first, and then it gets a bit better. I like how the build up for the final chorus, like how they did that. I mean, you can just kind of tell I'm struggling to find things to like.
I feel like I've been struggling this whole fucking review.
But I don't know. Yeah, I feel like this one deserves a 6 out of 10. I don't have too much to say about this one. I do think I like this one more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I will say that. I'll say that much. I don't really ever expect much for like cliche song titles like Deja Vu. Like, I don't know. not for me. I'm speaking of cliche song
I was titles. About to say.
Our next track, F You.
Another tractor just feels like filler to me.
I thought you said another tractor.
Another tractor, dude.
Sorry, I'm still my country.
I'm still my country face. Yeah. I've never been like a huge Avril fan, so I'm probably just like not giving her as much credit as other people would, but mm-hmm. I just feel like the song is filler and like there's nothing really stellar about it. Very like forgettable for me.
Okay, what'd you give it?
I didn't rate it on accident.
I told you to rate your song.
I know. That was the only one that I didn't.
Okay.
But I'll probably just give it like a 4.
A 4? Damn.
4 or 5.
4 or 5. Okay, fine. This is a repurposed Machine Gun Kelly song. Is it? I'm pretty sure. Because like at the beginning, it sounds exactly like a Machine Gun Kelly
probably
song.
Probably is.
But the beginning sounds exactly like one of his songs. The chorus is pretty dope, honestly, and I am about it. Some headbanging may have ensued while listening.
Ooh.
I don't have much to say about the verses. The bridge had some cool drum buildup back, but then it goes back to like the MGK riff and hits the final chorus in a bit of like a sloppy way, maybe to me. But like I was feeling pretty generous with this one. I think this is Jesus Christ, Roper.
I was laughing and coughing at the same time because like you're just like didn't do much for it, but I like this one.
I do like this one. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I feel like I don't know. I feel like this was a better one of her filler songs. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. Like I do feel like this record's full of filler.
There's a lot of filler on here.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was familiar from MGK. My brain's like, ooh, familiarity. I like that.
Oh yeah.
But next, we have a familiar fucking face. All I Wanted, featuring Mark Hoppus. All I wanted was you.
Mr. Hoppus, nice to see you. I was a nice surprise when I listened to this album for the first time today. And I heard Mark Hoppus on it. I was like, oh, damn, I haven't heard him in a while. And so we haven't really heard him featured on anything since his bout with cancer. So it was nice to hear him pop up on this. But the more I listened to it, the more I agree with what you were saying to me earlier about how it just like... The features just don't hit at all on this.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's cool that he's on this, but at the same time, it's like the flow of this song, like, they could have put somebody else on it and it would have worked way better. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the verses that he's on, he's singing really fast for like a Mark Hoppus song, in my opinion.
I actually thought that like this was one of the only songs that sounded different and it was because of him.
Yeah.
I feel like. I'm just going to read my thing here.
I feel that way too, though.
What's your score?
A 7.
A 7? Okay. I feel like this is the polar opposite of the last one.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the Mark fans are going to hate me, but I feel like this is an odd matchup, and I just don't diff. I just don't like it.
I don't
diff this song, is what I wrote, but I don't like it, is what I meant. I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's like an awkward song. I feel like it's like... I'm happy that it changes the sound a bit from the rest of the record because, like, I was getting burnt out pretty fucking fast.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the beginning of a record is 10 times better than the end of a record.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just me. I just don't like it. It just sounds off. And I hate because, like, I'm out of every person on this record that is featured, I'm happy the most that Mark Hoppus is on it.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I'm tired of seeing his name, too. No hate towards Blink or Mark or any of those guys. A little bit to Travis. I gave this one a 4 out of 10.
That's okay.
But now that Roper and I have disagreed on the last couple songs, how about we jump into the next one?
And we're gonna be close to agreeing on this one.
Ooh, hey Roper, this one's called Dare to Love Me.
Oh man. So don't tell me that you love me if you don't mean it.
Don't say another damn word if you don't believe it. Only tell me if you care, tell me if you care, tell me if you care about me. Only tell me if you dare, tell me if you dare, tell me if you dare. If you dare to love me, if you dare to love me.
Man, I'm okay with not hearing this intro. But yeah, we heard the intro at least 5 times. And I'm like, all right, let's get this going, man. It's a nice slower jam that'll probably take over the radio waves. It honestly sounds like a country song to me. Like
I can kind of hear that.
I feel like if you take out all the pop punk instrumentals and throw in some like twangy guitars and some steel guitars and stuff, I feel like this would be like a good Miranda Lambert song.
I think Miranda Lambert's like this loud woman, though.
I don't know. I just picked a country, female country singer's name out of a hat and just.
I didn't even see the hat. That was cool.
Geez.
What's the one where it's like lay my body on a bed of roses? Bed of roses. I feel like.
Who is that?
I don't remember, but I love feel like that would be who would do.
If I die young, bury me in sin. Who sings that song, dude? That's going to bother me.
The band Perry.
There we go.
Yeah.
Same. Same thing. Yeah, actually, this would be a great The Band Perry song.
Yeah. Come on, Avril, give it away, man. Yeah. Just give it away. What do you think?
Give it away.
Oh, what's your opinion on this one?
Oh, well, I was saying that it could be a country song. Maybe her next step is country music.
Move to some country?
And then Travis Barker Factory.
Yeah, move
takes
away.
Over country.
No, I don't want to go over to back to hip-hop or something. I know he likes that.
This is
any hip-hop. Go over there.
This is probably a 5 for me, too.
A solid 5? Okay.
Yeah.
Roper, do you dare to love me?
I dare.
This one is weird. Like, it's almost too serious. I like the instruments, and it reminds me of some of Avril's, like, older stuff a bit in the beginning, and then it totally just goes away later. I also feel like lyrically, it's for those kiddies going through their first breakup.
Yeah.
I do like the solo guitar in those verses. Like, it's very subtle. It's, like, something you really have to hear for, but, like, I was like, oh, I really like how they, like, emphasize her voice. But anyway, that's like the only nice thing I had to say about it. So give this one a 4 out of 10.
I could really see myself crying at a junior high dance to this song.
Oh my God. Yeah. Watching like, it's like the May Day parade song, watching some guy dance with a girl.
Miserable at best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big time rush. Yeah. Anyway, we got, the last song, Roper.
Last one.
This one's the last one. It is called Break of a Heartache. So, what do you think?
Instrumentally, I think this is probably my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, I just love the drums in it.
Okay.
Maybe just because, like, there's a lot of toms on the drums. I don't know.
You like toms?
Are
you a tomboy?
I'm a tomboy. I don't know. I feel like it works because they sound so, like, profound in this song. So, I mean, that's the first thing I heard. I'm like, oh, the drums sound completely different than anything else on this record.
Yeah, it did have a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
For sure-sies.
I honestly probably would have made this my second single instead of the MGK song when promoting this album.
Really?
I feel like, in my mind, if I'm going for a pop-punk audience, this song is probably the most pop-punk out of everything on here.
I wonder if that's what they're going for, because I really don't think it is. I think they're going for mainstream, and they like were smart enough to realize that mainstream was
getting bored. I know why they picked that second single to be the second single.
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying like as an album as a whole, like when they're thinking of their demographic, they're thinking of like the mainstream, but like changing the mainstream sound.
I get what you're saying now. I don't know. I think this one stands out the most instrumentally for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is my opinion. I give it a solid 7.
Solid 7. That's pretty good for you.
Yeah.
I think there was a better songs to end this record with. As for the song itself, it's all right. I like the speed and a bit more of intensity here. I think that was cool. I get that they wanted to end the record with like the goodbye line.
Yeah.
But after that so-called heartbreaking song and to wrap it up like this, it was just odd to me.
Yeah.
It was like, I feel like that heartbreaky song should have gone somewhere towards like the middle.
Yeah.
Like maybe like the later middle or something, like song like 6 or 7. And then it wouldn't feel so odd because she was like, I'm sad. I'm so sad. She's like, da-da-da-da-da. Like the next one. It's like weird, you know?
They could take out Avalanche completely and yeah. put this song where Avalanche goes. And then
I would.
But then you have to find something else to end the album with.
I feel like they're like, just end it with a good song. Like maybe end it with Bite Me or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I don't know. It is what it is. I gave this one a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
So Roper, we're at our final thoughts here. Please provide me with your final thoughts.
Okay. I think it's great that a majority of this album is upbeat. It makes it move a lot quicker.
it makes listening to this last a little less long.
It feels like it's a lot less time than it actually is. So that, I mean, that's kind of a positive because like you're having fun with the record.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see her return to her pop punk roots, if that's what you want to call this. This genre has progressed so much though since her first outing that it's like, I feel like it's like a great like first exposure to Avril, but it's not her best album. It's not a terrible album. There just isn't a lot for me personally. Like coming into this, I was not like a big Avril Lavigne fan.
I don't feel like anyone could listen to this record and feel like they took a lot out of it.
Yeah. Unless I feel
like it's like a quick bite.
Unless this is like your first Avril record and you're like, okay.
Almost. Yeah. Even then, I don't know.
We can't go back and experience this as our first Avril record. Anyways.
Yeah. So. I think I would have liked that. Cause like I got to of MGK. I like had no idea who he was until he released his record and everyone got excited. And I don't know. I love seeing the war. I love the drama behind it.
Oh, it's fun.
It's like people like absolutely fucking hate that guy. And then there's the people that are like, no, he's really good. And then those people are responded with like, well, what about that time he like said all those creepy things about underage women? And they're like, I don't care.
What
like,
about the rest of the pop punk team?
That's the question we should be asking.
Honestly. Yeah. I don't like the way that he looks.
I don't like that he's ugly.
Well, it's not, I don't know. It's just a lot to digest up front. So you like see him and then you see other pop punk bands. You're like, oh, this guy's like trying way too hard.
Mm. And why do I think he looks pop punk?
I think he looks like
someone that can afford designer clothes.
I think he looks like somebody threw up in a Hot Topic, like projectile vomited on him.
Yeah.
And then he got a bunch of like clearance Hot Topic clothes.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all you gotta do.
Maybe. But, there just isn't a lot for me. If I'm gonna go out and listen to a pop punk record, a female fronted one at that, I would say go listen to Paramore, Yours Truly, and Stan Atlantic, and Meet Me at the Altar.
Mm-hmm. Jetty Bones.
Jetty Bones as well. If you wanna branch, I mean, this would be like a kind of a. If you're getting into the genre, this might be a decent place to start. But if you want to branch out from here, there is so many more bands that actually like encapsulate the pop punk scene right now, as opposed to what's being fed to us.
I feel like Stan Atlantic's a perfect like female fronted band to get into the pop punk.
Absolutely,
scene
they're so easy to listen to.
Yeah, like I like that Dinosaur song.
Oh yeah,
it's so good.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I gave this album a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. Okay,
solid D.
Solid D. It was really nice to see Avril return to her roots with this record, or as Roper said, or could you say that? I don't know. I'm questioning that right now. It is by far nowhere near my favorite record of hers, but I think there like were a few jams here I really liked. My only wish is that she would have chosen another producer. Travis Barker is known for putting out the same shit, and it made its impact on here as well. And it's very disappointing. I know we talked about this a little more in depth earlier, but I feel like I gotta say it again.
Do it.
I don't think that takes away from Avril's singing and some of her songwriting. I do think she's a good songwriter. I do think that she is a great singer. And I hope to see her come back with a new producer that isn't so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Solid 6 out of 10 for me, too. And I actually averaged out all my scores, and it was like 5.777, something like that. So I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I didn't average out my scores, because if I did, it would probably be a 7. But
oh.
But I don't know. Overall, this album is very passable for me, so...
Yeah, it's, like, nothing I'm gonna go out of my way for, but if I have to listen to it, I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, like, yeah. I can enjoy a little bits and pieces of it, so I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
But, Roper, we still have an up-and-coming band
we do.
To
let's,
discuss.
Let's go listen to them.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the forum in our link trees on any and all of our social media. Now, Roper, this week we got Mike and the Nerve with their song, A Drunkard's Lifetime.
Ooh.
Who is this band, Roper?
Who are these guys?
Well, they have a lot to say, so let's get to it.
Well, yeah.
Punk rock was born and bred in the Gainesville natives, Mike and the Nerve, shaped by a local punk scene with which spawned such acts as Against Me, Hot Water Music, and Less Than Jake. I knew that. Frontman Mike Lorena began contextualizing, that's a big word, his influences, mixing classic rock with punk and folk, with acts like the Gaslight Anthem and Frank Turner serving as constant reference points in his songwriting. Great two bands. Love that.
There you go.
Love that much.
That's something for you.
Starting out playing shows and recording music under his name, Lorena has grown Mike and the Nerve into a full-fledged band, which now includes drummer Josh Napier, backing vocalist Garrett Pogue, guitarist slash backing vocalist Eli Garland, and bassist James Conlin. Lorena explains the name The Nerve refers to both the idea of nervous energy and having the nerve to go and do things that seem personally unsurmountable. Another nice big word. Both of which are topics referenced in a lot of the band's lyrics. Very cool.
Cool.
Like that. So what's the story behind the song? A Drunkard's Lifetime is about the long amount of time that it can sometimes take to work through a negative chapter in someone's life. While the song's lyrics refer to this in a more post-relationship slash breakup context, the song title refers to a long-term alcoholic and the long journey they undergo towards sobriety. So, Roper.
Yeah?
Should we fucking listen to this song?
Dude, let's kick it!
Showed the end of a love that I felt certain, a partner in the trench, a confidant who saved me when I was on the edge. Babe, I love you. Small and foolish part of me, still living on a prayer that I could still be yours and you my when we get there. Give me a good reason.
A reason.
Your antics pose disaster.
Disaster.
If you're trying to make me hate you,
I hate you.
You're nearing the path faster. I won't grieve with us in one night. Won't expect. two in the frame. Revolving door of faces, I hope yours would remain. It's goodbye and good riddance, we're throwing this away. I smile soon we cross paths and send you on your way. I won't grieve with us in one night, won't expel all at once. I will need a drunk guy's lifetime to try and forget us. I won't grieve with us in one night, won't expel all at once. I will need a drunk guy's lifetime to try.
Roper.
Yeah.
What you think, my dude?
I like it.
I really dug the fucking instruments on this. Like, it definitely gave me that. I could see, at least, like, saying, like, Gaslight Anthem. I can definitely kind of, like, feel those vibes there. I like the message behind the song.
Yeah.
I think this was a really well-done track.
I do,
he's got
too.
A whole record here, it looks like. I'm very impressed. Yeah. Very impressed. Only 55 monthly listeners.
What?
Not cool, guys.
What?
Not fucking cool.
You guys have the nerve.
They don't have the mic, that's for sure.
The mic.
Mm-mm-mm. So yeah, you guys should check out Mike and the Nerve if you're interested. We have a link in our bio, or not in our bio, in our show notes. You guys should always check that out. Mike and the Nerve, 55 listeners, go and check them out.
Hell yeah. If you guys want to reach out to us, we are at PPES. Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
That's correct.
MySpace.
Not so much.
Nah. Think about how cool we would be, though.
God, we should have done this in the MySpace era, dude.
Bring this back. They didn't even have well, they did, but not
no one
good ones.
not like ours.
Not like us. What other social media? Oh, YouTube.
We got YouTube, a couple YouTubes. Here's my thing. I saw our Spotify reviews. A perfect five. That's not cool. I want a perfect five.
What do we have?
Like a 4.5 or something.
What?
I know. Someone's not about our show.
I was going to say. Somebody...
So if you guys really like our show, you should review us. That would make us feel a lot better.
Solid five.
Also, like Avril Lavigne songs. Also, that helps us a lot in the algorithm, if you will.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to help our show out, we'd very much appreciate that. This was the second to last episode.
Yes, we've
of
got
this season.
We've got a solid finale coming your guys' way.
It's another review. You guys will not guess what it is, even though Roper spoiled it.
No,
but
they still won't find out.
They're not gonna know. They're not gonna know.
They're not gonna have any inkling.
I'm excited to. I feel like it's kind of a coming to Jesus moment. I'm just gonna say.
You might as well just say it.
Yeah, we reviewed Machine Gun Kelly's "Tickets to My Downfall," and now we're gonna be reviewing his new record that I can't remember.
Mainstream Sellout.
Mainstream Sellout. I feel like we have a good amount to say. I've listened to it all the way through, I think, once.
I think I'm at one as well.
So we'll be listening to that in the next few days.
I know, just powering through this album as many times as I did today, it's like, man, we got a whole other review coming up.
I know.
That's going to probably be way worse.
You guys like these reviews? Because, like, I feel like that'd be kind of fun for us to do more reviews, but, like, more positive reviews.
Yeah, I almost said at the beginning of this episode, I'm like, man, why can't we review anything that I like?
Because it's not popular, right?
I know, it's not.
It doesn't bring in those hot, solid views.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, like... Maybe in season 4, if you guys do like the reviews, like, let us know.
We might be coming back. We might be talking a little bit about that. Season 4's, we always take a break between seasons, and a lot of that is to just, like, recharge our energy for it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy. Like, for instance, we are recording this now, and it'll be edited and put up by the end of the day. So I will not sleep, but I will be ordering Domino's pizza, which I'm excited
for. That sounds great. I had pizza before I got over here.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
But it wasn't good pizza.
That is not good.
No.
But anyway, yeah, guys, please make sure to follow us on the Insta. Rate us. Make sure to
review us.
And not debate us.
You can debate us, but you'll lose.
Roper's very feisty in those PMs.
Yep.
So, Roper, we got to end this episode. Good enough for me.